Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our meditation this morning is from Romans chapter 4, 18 to 25. You'll find those words printed on page 3 of the worship folder. If you would like to follow along during the course of the message, of course, we'll be referring to it quite often during this sermon. One of the questions I get asked, in fact, I was asked it a couple times this morning, is how's retirement going? And usually what I simply answer is it's good. Kind of a non-committal answer, right? So I started thinking about it and said, well, what word could I use to describe retirement? And I came up with one. Hopeless. Hopeless. And one of the things I want to do during retirement is I said, well, I want to get rid of this belly. So what I did is I bought myself my little Fitbit. I've got it set for 12,000 steps. I walk for an hour to an hour and 15 minutes every morning, and I hit those 12,000 steps or more virtually every day. Hopeless, right? I also have this to-do list. Most of the things on that to-do list, of course, are put on there by my wife, Ann. And I hope someday to get to the end of that to-do list, but it seems that every time I cross something off the top, two things get added to the bottom. It's kind of hopeless. As most of you know, I have Meniere's disease, which means that my hearing is getting worse. I have vertigo and dizziness, and you know all about that. Well, a couple years ago, I went to my ENT ear doctor, and he gave me a lot of hope. He said there's a study in Canada going on where a doctor thinks he has a cure for Meniere's disease. And he says, and if that's true, if what he's doing works, it'll be the end of my dizziness and vertigo. He also said there was a study at the University of Nebraska where a specialist thought he had found a way to regenerate the little follicles in the inner ear. And if that would happen, then it would restore my hearing loss. So I hadn't heard anything from him, so I went a couple weeks ago and I said, so how are those studies going? And he said, well, the one in Canada is really not going anyplace. Nobody else really thinks it works. And the study in Nebraska kind of crashed and burned. And I thought, talk about dashing hopes, right? Hopeless. But one of the things I really do like about retirement is the fact that I can go to church every Sunday and I can sit out there where you are instead of being up here. I just love that part because I can now sit down and simply listen to the word of God as it's preached. And, you know, we go to a church that has a wonderful pastor who preaches very clear law and gospel. And when I listen to that, and when I listen to the word of God, one of the things that's done for me is that it's really made me realize how much of a sinner I am. Now, we confess it every Sunday, right? We sin in thought, we sin in word, we sin in our actions. And then I listen to the word of God and I think about some of those Bible passages like Paul in 2 Corinthians. And when he says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one of us, while in the body, will receive what we deserve according to what we've done, good or bad. Or the words of Jesus when he said there will be a resurrection of all flesh. Those who have done good will rise to eternal life. Those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. It's pretty harsh words. And then I look at my life and I say, well, I'm a hopeless sinner. There is absolutely no way that a holy, just, and all-knowing God should or would ever let me in to his heaven. Hopeless. Now, why am I bringing all of this up? I wonder what's going through your minds right now. Now, maybe some of you are thinking, wow, has he really gotten that pessimistic? What happened? But I hope and pray that none of you are thinking, yeah, I can relate to that. My life is pretty hopeless too, because it's not. What I really hope and pray is going through your mind is you're looking at me and saying, you know what? You're just plain wrong to think and feel that way. Because that is wrong. My life is not hopeless. Your life is not hopeless. The life of a Christian is not hopeless. That's what our service theme is. We have hope in Jesus. And I really want you to understand then, with these words of the Apostle Paul speaking about Abraham are really all about. He was talking about the hope that Abraham had. Listen to what he says in verse 18. He says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. You remember Abraham. God came to Abraham and Sarah, you know, up in Haran, and said, I want you to go to a different land, you know, down to Canaan. And he said, Abraham, I'm going to make you into a great nation. And as time went on, that simply was not happening. And, you know, you read the Old Testament, and Abraham started having some doubts, just like everybody else does. But then God took him outside, and God said, Abraham, look up. Look at the stars. Now remember where Abraham lived and when Abraham lived. You know, there was no pollution. There were no city lights. Have you ever had the opportunity to really look at the nighttime sky without pollution and city lights? I remember one time being out in the Arizona desert, and just absolutely wonderful. The best was we were up in the Canadian Quetico, which is a wilderness canoe area north of Minnesota, and it was a new moon. There was no moon out, and you looked up. It was just gorgeous. No way you could even begin to possibly count how many stars were there. That's what Abraham saw. And God said, Abraham, that's your descendants. And it's going to be a child from you and Abraham. And Abraham said, I believe it. And listen to why in verse 19. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, that Sarah's womb was also dead, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. Now listen, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. Against all hope. You know, according to human reasoning, according to biology, there was absolutely no way that Sarah and Abraham were going to have a child. Abraham was 100, Sarah was 90. It simply wasn't going to happen. Except that this was a promise from God, right? And Abraham believed it. He didn't waver in his faith. He said, if God said it, if God promises it, it's going to happen. And of course, we know it did, right? Abraham and Sarah had Isaac. Isaac had Jacob. They became the 12 tribes of Israel. His descendants became so numerous, but the most important promise was that the Savior would come from Abraham's descendants, and the Savior did. And that's what made this so important. And listen to what Paul says. That is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words "it was credited to him" were not written for him alone, and now he applies it to us, but also for us to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins, was raised to life for our justification. This whole thing was not about Abraham. It was about Jesus, right? The words, "it was credited to him as righteousness." It wasn't anything Abraham had done. It wasn't because he was such a good person. It was credited to him as righteousness because he believed the promise of the Savior. And Paul says the same thing for us. We are credited with righteousness, not because of the life you and I live, but we're credited as righteous because of the life Jesus lived, because of the death Jesus died to pay the full price for our sins, because Jesus rose from the dead, because this is a promise from God, and God never breaks a promise. Do you understand the hope we have? The hope we have in Christ? Sure, I'm a hopeless sinner, and so are you. I think of the Apostle Paul. And when you think of the Apostle Paul, what goes through your mind? You know, what, greatest missionary, right? The whole history of the Apostle Paul, but yet he writes to his friend Timothy, and he calls himself the worst of sinners. Is that the way you would characterize the Apostle Paul, the worst sinner ever? And I wouldn't either, but see, Paul was thinking about his sins. Other people's sins didn't matter. Didn't matter if Paul could find people who sinned worse than him or not as bad, who did more sins, worse sins, didn't matter. Paul focused on his sins. And I think of the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7 when he's looking at his life and he says, you know, the good things that I want to do, I don't do. And the evil that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. And he said, what a wretched man I am. Can you relate to that? I can. You know, how many times have you made yourself a promise and you've sinned and you've gone to God, you've repented, and then you say to yourself, I'm never going to do that again. And we do it, right? Or the times you say, you know, I'm going to just turn my life around here. And you start thinking of all these wonderful good things you want to do for the Lord and the good things you want to do for other people. And so often what happens? You don't do them. And we realize that we're hopeless sinners. But what did Paul say? He said, what a wretched man I am. Who will save me from this body of death? And then he said, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And my friends, that's why life is not hopeless. Because we have hope in Christ. This is about Jesus. This is about what Jesus did for Abraham, what God promised to Abraham. This is what Jesus has done for us when he went to that cross, when he rose from that tomb, when God credited Jesus' righteousness to us and promised that he would take us to heaven. So I don't know if I'm ever going to lose this belly, but I'll keep trying. I don't know if I'm ever going to get to the end of that to-do list, and it's probably a good thing that I don't because it keeps me busy. I don't know if they'll ever find a cure for Meniere's disease or not, but if they don't, God will get me through it. But in the end, none of that matters. But what I do know is that because of Jesus, God's going to take me to heaven. And God's going to take you to heaven too. Because of Jesus. What did we just sing? You know, one of the most beautiful hymns in the hymnal, right? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Take that thought home with you. And think about it. And pray about it. But more importantly, believe it. My hope, your hope of eternal life, is based on nothing less than Jesus. His blood, his righteousness. Amen.